Well, good evening. We've just about made it through another week of the virus pandemic. But this is Good Friday. And so with many Christians around the world, we're going to turn our attention to the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. These are dark times. The pandemic continues, and there's a great deal of suffering in the world, a lot of confusion. People losing their jobs and wondering about how they're going to provide for their material needs. The church grieves as we are unable to gather for public worship, unable to receive the Lord's Supper, which we especially do at this time of year in churches throughout the world, partaking of the Lord's Supper with much reverence and a solemn joy before our Lord Jesus, who was crucified for our sins. But we're unable to partake of the sacraments in any way at this time as we're not gathering for public worship. It's a difficult time for the church, and this is not exactly a worship service. We want to make that clear. Nevertheless, we will have a meditation on the cross today. Dark times, as I say, but through God's amazing grace toward this sinful world, the light of His salvation does shine upon us through the cross, where Jesus experienced a depth of darkness that we cannot fathom, so that we who trust in Him could be forgiven all our sins unto everlasting life through God's grace. And so with that in mind, friends, let's quiet our hearts and minds now, and submit ourselves to the Word of God. First reading will come from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Lord, hope, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption, and He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Praise our God and Savior, He does bring us a full redemption from all of our guilt and sin. And that has been accomplished by our mighty Savior Jesus in His suffering and death. Things that we remember and indeed celebrate today. So, beloved in the Lord, would you lift your hearts to the throne of grace with me and let's pray. Our Father, who so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, we acknowledge that you are a holy God with a perfect love for righteousness and a perfect hatred for all that is evil. Therefore, we marvel at your mercy toward us sinners, that even while we were your enemies, you reconciled us to yourself through the most bitter passion and cursed death of Jesus, your Son. We were strangers, alienated from you, our Creator, on account of all of our wicked ways. But we now enjoy peace with you through the cross of Christ, by whose merits we have become your very children, even co-heirs with your Son, Jesus, of all eternal blessings. To us belonged condemnation, but through the precious blood of your Son, Jesus, you have pronounced our justification. To us belonged an imprisonment from which we could never liberate ourselves. But you, Father, sent Christ to redeem us, and He has freed us from the power of sin and death and from the tyranny of the devil, so that we may glorify you, our God, and enjoy you forever. Oh, Heavenly Father, on this solemn occasion, we loathe our sinful condition, and we are filled with sorrow for our innumerable sins. Yet we also joyfully celebrate your marvelous grace. Praise be to your great name for the free gift of salvation that we believers receive through your Son's perfect obedience unto death. Even the faith with which we receive our dear Savior was won for us by his death, worked in our hearts by your Holy Spirit, O God. By the power of the same Spirit, would you please open our ears to hear your word? And would you soften our hearts so that we, by a true faith, would embrace Jesus, whose death has secured for us everlasting life with you? Refresh us today with your grace and help us always to be faithful witnesses to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing number 337 from the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. Oh, Holy Jesus, how hast thou offended? He did not offend. He did not offend anyone in any way, not by any sin. But we remember his suffering and death, loathing ourselves for our many sins, for we have offended against God's law in countless ways. All of 337. Another scripture reading from the Word of God, Matthew chapter 27. We'll have a series of readings from different Gospels today, really from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the only one from Matthew. Matthew 27, really the background of the crucifixion here. By this point, Judas Iscariot has betrayed the Lord Jesus into the hands of the Jewish leaders who hated him. Unable to put people to death, the Jews brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor over Judea. Well, as you recall from the story, Pilate found Jesus innocent of any wrongdoing. He wanted to release Jesus, but the crowd there in Jerusalem insisted that Jesus be crucified. And so we read from the Word of God, Matthew 27, beginning at verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For Pilate knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And Pilate said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. God's word from Matthew 27. We want to read a few words of explanation about the suffering and death of Jesus from our Heidelberg Catechism. And you can turn there with me to Heidelberg Catechism, question answers 37, 38, and 39. From Lord's Day 15 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we read from question answer 37 here, first of all. What do you understand by the word suffered? And the answer, that during his whole life on earth, but especially at the end, Christ sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race. This he did in order that by his suffering as the only atoning sacrifice, he might deliver us, body and soul, from eternal condemnation and gain for us God's grace, righteousness, and eternal life. Then question 38, why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? So that he, though innocent, might be condemned by an earthly judge and so free us from the severe judgment of God that was to fall on us. And question 39, is it significant that he was crucified instead of dying some other way? The answer, yes. By this death, I'm convinced that Jesus shouldered the curse which lay on me, since death by crucifixion was cursed by God. Reference there to Deuteronomy 21:23, where it says, the death of a man hanged on a tree is accursed of God. And so we understand, friends, that the Lord Jesus did not suffer merely at the hateful hands of his own countrymen, the Jews, or even at the hands of the unjust Roman government, but that he suffered a curse from God, was made the object of God's wrath, which our sins deserved, so that we could be reconciled to God once and for all by that one sacrifice of his Son. What we're going to do in the remainder of this service is meditate on the seven last words or sayings of Jesus from the cross. I want to encourage you to read those scriptures with me, and those of you who will be watching through a YouTube video, Please have your Bibles, if at all possible, and read along and give due consideration with a somber spirit before our God to these wonderful words of the suffering and death of his Son, Jesus Christ. The first word from the cross that we want to consider is from Luke 23, and so I'll ask you to turn there now with me. Luke 23, and we pick up at verse 32. Luke 23, 32, the Word of God. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." God's word from Luke 23, and our next reading will come from that passage as well, the very next verses. But before we turn to that second word from the cross, let's sing once again hymn number 466, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." We want to read the story of his passion and his most horrific death on the cross, but we really want to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus. We're not merely remembering his suffering and death. He is risen. He does live. He is that only Savior of poor sinners such as we are. And so let us stir faith up in our hearts and even plead for the Holy Spirit to help us embrace Jesus from a believing heart as we sing, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee, Our Lord Jesus." All of 466. Second word from the cross, the next saying of our Lord Jesus, also from Luke 23, "Today you will be with me in paradise," he said to one of the criminals who was crucified alongside of him. So Luke 23, and we pick up at verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And that very Friday afternoon, the thief on the cross did enter into a glorious paradise in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. For the Savior secured everlasting life for sinners by his sacrificial death as our substitute. We turn again to the Heidelberg Catechism, which helps us to understand more of his accomplishment on the cross that Good Friday. From the next Lord's Day in the Heidelberg Catechism, we pick up here at question answer 40. Heidelberg Catechism question 40 says, "Why did Christ have to suffer death?" The answer, "Because God's justice and truth require it. Nothing else could pay for our sins except the death of the Son of God." Question 41, "Why was he buried?" The answer, "His burial testifies that he really died." 42, "Since Christ has died for us, why do we still have to die?" The answer, "Our death is not a payment for our sins, but only a dying to sins and an entering into eternal life." Question 43, "What further benefit do we receive from Christ's sacrifice and death on the cross?" The answer, "By his power, our old man is crucified, put to death, and buried with him, so that the evil desires of the flesh may no longer rule us, but that instead we may offer ourselves as a sacrifice of thanksgiving to him." And finally, question answer 44, "Why does the creed add that he descended into hell? To assure me during attacks of deepest dread and temptation that Christ my Lord, by suffering unspeakable anguish, pain, and terror of soul on the cross, but also earlier, has delivered me from hellish anguish and torment." Wonderful teaching there from our catechism. And we'll turn at this time to the third word from the cross, which is going to be found in John 19, the Gospel of John chapter 19. Just a few verses. This is where the Lord Jesus gives his mother Mary to his beloved disciple John, and in turn gives his beloved John to Mary for them to have one another as mother and son and to care for each other as members of the family of God. So let's read from John 19, starting at verse 23. "When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be.' This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." What astounding love and mercy toward needy people. While Roman soldiers showed more concern for some articles of clothing than for that innocent man whom they were crucifying there on the cross, Jesus is hanging there, giving this tender care to his mother Mary and to the apostle John, who were to receive each other as family members. Because through the redemptive death of God's own Son, believers become members of the family of God. Let's go now to the throne of grace, beloved, and confess our sins, knowing that for the sake of Christ, our Heavenly Father deals with us, not as enemies, but as His beloved children in Christ. Pray with me. Almighty God, we are poor sinners who deserve forever to suffer under your most holy and righteous wrath. Yet we may call you our Father, because you have placed our full punishment on Jesus, your perfectly holy and righteous Son. And so it is through your gospel grace that we now are able in true humility to confess our sins to you, O Heavenly Father, knowing that you will be faithful and just to forgive us all our sins, to cleanse us from every unrighteous thing for the sake of Christ Jesus and his death on the cross. Every one of us has erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws, failing daily to love you with all of our heart, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. O God, we have left undone so many good things which we ought to have done. We have done so many evil things which we ought not to have done. Heavenly Father, we are so totally helpless without your mercy. So we plead through the bloody death of our Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, miserable offenders. Forgive us our many sins, even now. Cleanse us even from hidden faults, as we confess our sins in silence. Lord God, we are sorry for our sins, but are confident that through the precious blood of Jesus, we have peace with you now and always. Confessing our sins to you, we ask that you would help us to repent in truth, that we would learn to hate our sins and turn from them with all of our might. We pray that you would grant us an increase of the grace of your Holy Spirit so that we would learn more and more to love righteousness and to walk in your holy ways, O God, for your glory and for the good of our neighbors. Hear us, we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we turn now to the fourth word from the cross found in the Gospel of Mark chapter 15. If you'd turn there with me now. Mark 15, 33. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, behold, he is calling Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. The Roman centurion probably did not even understand the very thing he confessed there, that Jesus is Son of God. But indeed, Jesus is Son of God, eternal Son of God the Father. He was forsaken by the Father so that we sinners who trust in him would never be forsaken by God. But as his beloved children, we would have the forgiveness of sins. We'd be covered through God's grace in the perfect righteousness of his son Jesus. And we would be preserved unto life everlasting by Almighty God, our most loving Father. Let us rejoice in knowing that through his being forsaken there on the cross, we have peace with our God, membership in his family and in his kingdom forever through his grace. We sing 342, hymn number 342, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. Fifth word from the cross from John chapter 19. Where our Lord Jesus says, just two words there, I thirst in the English Bible. John 19 verses 28 and 29. Read with me once again, please. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill Scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. John tells us that this happened to fulfill Old Testament Scripture, but Jesus uttered those words, I thirst, because he really did thirst. As a true man, he thirsted. The Son of God was not putting on a show in all of his suffering and dying. No, he could really suffer and die because he was true man. Beloved of the Lord, let's listen to what our catechism has to say about his being both true and eternal God on the one hand, and then on the other also at the same time, true and righteous man, these two natures bound together in his one person. This is from the Heidelberg Catechism, question answer number 12. If you'll follow with me. Heidelberg question 12. According to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment both now and in eternity. How then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor? The answer there, number 12, God requires that his justice be satisfied. Therefore, the claims of this justice must be paid in full, either by ourselves or by another. Question 13, can we make this payment ourselves? The answer, certainly not. Actually, we increase our debt every day. Question 14, can another creature, any at all, pay this debt for us? The answer, no. To begin with, God will not punish any other creature, for example, an animal. You think of all the Old Testament sacrifices. God will not punish any other creature for what a human is guilty of. Furthermore, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal wrath against sin and deliver others from it. Question 15, what kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for then? The answer, one who is a true and righteous man, yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also true God. Question 16, just a few more here. Why must the mediator be a true and righteous man? The answer, because God's justice requires that human nature, which has sinned, must pay for its sins. But a sinner could never pay for others. Question 17, why must he also be true God? The answer, so that by the power of his divinity, he might bear in his humanity the weight of God's wrath and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. And finally, question answer 18. Then who is this mediator, true God and at the same time a true and righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was given to us for our complete deliverance and righteousness. More wonderful teaching there from the Heidelberg Catechism, based completely upon the truth of God's Word. Friends, let's read one more here from the Gospel of John, the sixth word. There will be one more following this, but one last one from John chapter 19, and we pick up here at verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. We sing from hymn number 339, the first three stanzas there from 339, "Hark, the voice of love and mercy," as we consider those words of our Lord Jesus, "It is finished." Let me just explain something very briefly. It's maybe the greatest of the sayings of our Lord from the cross. Jesus actually uttered in Greek, "tetelestai," which in the Greco-Roman world was official language for the full payment of a debt being made. "Tetelestai," it is finished, indicates that someone's debt has been paid in full. By his suffering and death, Jesus paid all the spiritual debts that we believers had before God. His sacrificial death satisfied the just judgment of God that stood against us. And it is for that reason alone that God can in grace forgive our sins. His justice, his wrath having been satisfied, our debts having been paid, in grace he can forgive us and receive us into his glorious kingdom for everlasting life. Friends, with those things in mind, we stand to sing from 339, the first three stanzas. And the last of the seven words from the cross, from Luke 23. The Lord Jesus said to the Father, just before breathing his last, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." From Luke 23, we pick up here at verse 44. Luke 23, 44. "It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, 'Certainly this man was innocent.' And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things." All the way to the bitter end, Christ Jesus entrusted himself into the hands of his God and Father. My friends, if God has reconciled us to himself once and for all by the death of his own Son, in all of our trials and suffering, we can entrust ourselves to our Heavenly Father in the full confidence that he will work all things together for our good and salvation. Let's sing one more before concluding our service with a last prayer. We'll sing 352, "Man of Sorrows, What a Name." All of 352 in the Trinity Psalter Hymnal.
Sinners to reclaim.
Close with one more word of prayer. Please pray with me. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we do humbly call on you once more in this special service in which we have reflected on the passion of our Lord Jesus, his suffering, his death on the cross. We can never thank you enough for this gift, your own eternal Son, sent into this world to become true man for us and for our salvation, a salvation which we know he has accomplished by his most miserable suffering, the very torments of hell, body and soul, he suffered on the cross, reconciling us to you once and for all, paying the debt of our sin, all of our sin, saying there at the end, it is finished, because he finished making payment, finished making peace between God and sinners. We're so very thankful, our God. We truly cannot thank you enough for this, the gift of your Son, whom you gave up to die for us, our mediator in the covenant of grace. We are covenant breakers. We've broken the covenant of works by all of our rebellious ways. We never would seek out God. We never could amend our ways and change our ways in such a way that we would win over your favor or love. We were children of wrath by nature, but you have made us your own children through the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our elder brother, our mediator, our high priest, the most righteous advocate we have, even now before your throne, because that crucified Savior has been raised. And so as much as we with somber spirit reflect on our sins and on his suffering today, we do joyfully praise you, our Savior Jesus, our most loving Father in heaven, Holy Spirit, our triune God, we praise you, Father, Son, and Spirit, because you alone are Savior, and you have given us, through your grace alone, eternal life through the forgiveness of our sins. We rejoice in knowing the redemption that has been accomplished for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus, who now and always intercedes before you, Father, on our behalf. We ask that you would comfort the afflicted, even now, our God, throughout the whole country and indeed throughout the world. So much suffering continues on account of this global pandemic, this virus that continues to spread, even if in some places that spread seems to be slowing down, leveling off. We know that many suffer in the body, many suffer in isolation from their loved ones, perhaps on their deathbeds. We know that many are filled with many anxieties because of loss of work, poverty, which surely will increase because of this pandemic. Lord our God, we know that there are various frustrations daily in many homes as well, as people are cooped up, practicing self-quarantining and isolating themselves in their homes. We do pray, our God, all of these who suffer to one degree or another have hope, not ultimately in the governments of this world, not ultimately in any amount of material wealth, not ultimately in medications and medical treatment they might receive, which can only help our physical lives. But our true hope, our only lasting hope for peace with you and eternal life is found through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, him crucified and raised for our salvation. And so we do pray that this word of the gospel would go forth now, today on this Good Friday, and yes, throughout the weekend and through Resurrection Sunday, the word of the gospel would go forth and you would bring true consolation, O God, to countless sinners in the midst of much darkness. Your light would shine on them. You would bring them out of the dark of their sin and misery, even out of the darkness of death, and grant them healing, if it be your will. But we plead with you, O God, especially through your grace in Jesus, grant many sinners everlasting salvation. We ask that you would be particularly merciful to those in our congregation who suffer. Lord, there are pregnant sisters in our congregation who are concerned about their health, the health of the babies in their wombs. We pray for them in particular and ask that you would spare them from this virus. You would continue to have those babies grow until they come to the time of safe delivery into the world. We pray in particular for Chelsea, as she has already passed her due date this last Monday. We would pray, our God, in the name of Jesus, would you protect her and give her very soon, we pray, a safe birthing of this daughter, whom the Vandermolens and all of us will, with great joy and thanks to you, welcome into the world. We are thankful, our God, even as we see so much suffering and death throughout the world, there is life. You are adding to our congregation in this way. We praise you, our God, that you have spared the life of our brother David from having a heart attack, and he has had stents put in successfully to a couple of blocked arteries, and we pray for continued progress in his heart health in particular. In the name of Jesus, grant full healing and give him life and health, O God, that he may continue to serve you. We think of others who are sick at this time and pray, our God, your healing mercies upon them. We do know that through the wounds of Jesus, we have the hope of resurrection from the dead. And we already enjoy resurrection life in you, Jesus Christ, through the gift of your Holy Spirit. And so we pray that by the same Spirit, you would work in our hearts now to help us hope in you for remedy to all of our many needs, all of the many trials we face. We do even pray that you would grant healing from sickness through the wounds of your cross, if you be so inclined, our God, in your mercy. Please give endurance to all the saints here in this congregation. We are away from each other for the majority of these last few weeks, only able to connect through Zoom calls, through phone calls, and email and such modern technology. We're thankful for these things, but there are many frustrations, our God, and we are not all able to connect as we would like to do through these various media. So we would ask that you would help us, help all of the saints to reach out one to another, particularly help our elders and deacons and myself to make contact with all that you have brought into connection with this congregation, that we may point them to Christ, that we would be in your word with them, even remotely, that, oh God, we would pray with them, even through the phone, and continue praying for them. And we ask on this Good Friday, where while so many Christians throughout the world are praying, we would ask our God that you would help all of us to be more prayerful, to dedicate ourselves to worship in our homes. We know that that is something that should be happening in the lives of all Christian people. While they are away from your house, O God, from the public assembly for worship with all the saints in a particular location, they nevertheless can worship from their homes. There can be family worship there, private reading of Scripture and prayers as well. So we pray in Jesus' name. May vibrant worship take place in the hearts and in the homes of your people throughout the world. Even as they are separated from one another, Lord, may they all be united together in their most precious faith in Christ. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, who dwells in the head of the church, even Jesus, and in all of us members of his body and of his bride, the church. We pray, Spirit of God, give us endurance through all of these trials. Give us patience through all of these many frustrating days. Deliver us from anxiety. Take away all of our worries and fears. We ought not fear man or any other created thing, for nothing can separate us from your love, O God, in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray in his name that you would help us. Help us press on by faith. Help us bear much fruit for your praise. Fruit of righteousness that would adorn the gospel which we confess and which we want to spread throughout all the world. O our God, please continue to use us to be witnesses to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Even in this dark time, we pray, may the light of your kingdom salvation through Jesus Christ shine ever more brightly throughout all the nations, to all peoples, that a great multitude might be saved for your glory, O God, and for the joy of your people. Hear us, for we do ask all of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. And we conclude with the words of the Lord's Prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.